flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the Routt County check sheet for September 4th, 2018. The check cycle date is from August 27th through August 31st. Accounts payable, $1,068,234.75. Payroll checks in the amount of $487,377.58. And IRS and state income tax wires, $193,972.15. For total disbursements approved of $1,749,584.48.
Second.
Items to note, Tom?
Yes. Have a payment to Big R Manufacturing. This is from Road and Bridge, and this is for the purchase of culverts for District 3 and 1, $25,221. Payment through Elaine Financial Services, and this is for Amazon. It's just one I just picked and looked up. But this IT pool, and this is a replacement scanner for ERP equipment, or for the ERP program. So 2,000
scanner. One scanner?
A document scanner.
Yeah, it's only one of them?
It's only one. $2,639.90.
Because we had problems with all of them, right?
Yes, we did. Payment to Northwest Colorado. I don't know why it's still the Visiting Nurse Association, because this is Northwest Colorado Health. Environmental Health, this is from the Environmental Health budget. This is a third quarter distribution of 2018 budget allocations, $17,239. Payment to CNC Technical Services, Inc. This is a building and plant pool, and this is for the Justice Center cell phone booster. Expensive little budget, $9,103.66.
We're just now putting a cell phone booster in the Justice Center?
It's been probably a month. This is after.
Yes, Steve was doing that.
Yeah, Steve was doing that.
Okay.
So it's been a minute.
And again, it was after, we had that meeting down there and nobody could get out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct. Payment to Insight Public Sector, Inc. This is from the IT pool. And this was a net motion mobility software license and purchase of the software. This is for the police and sheriff's office and a VPN for the mobile data terminals that the officers use. And this is a combination. This is 50-50 cost between the city and the county for the purchase of this piece of equipment, $9,643.85. Payment to the City of Steamboat Springs. This is from the Community Services budget and the Craig bus service that the city provides. $35,000 for that payment. This was from 2017 cost. Payment to City of Steamboat Springs.
Well, nice. So promptly take care of that. So I'm good.
Additionally, here, payment to City of Steamboat Springs, and this is for the CLEF project, $430,640.79. But we had payments in this one, in this cycle, that included payments to Steamboat Architectural Associates, Certified Business Services, Calcon Construction. Calcon was $395,900 of that amount, less the retainage. And we have payment to NV5. This is the monthly payment of $13,530. Payment to part of the payment to Yampa Valley Electric Association for the equipment that they have installed. So again, the total of this was to the payment to the city of reimbursement, $430,640.79, and this was our 40% share of that cost, total cost. Payment to Steamboat Springs Area Fire Protection District, and this is from Mercy Medical Wildfire budget. And case number 1407, basically the 131 fire from July 22nd and 23rd, $4,985.35. Payment to Wagner Equipment, Road and Bridge, rented an asphalt compactor for patching, payment of $5,380 for that rental, and payment to Powder River Construction, Inc. This is the construction company that has the AIP 44 apron project out of YVRA. This payment, $266,220.
Any other questions, discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So items of note from yesterday's work sessions. We did not meet as it was a holiday on observance of the Labor Day holiday.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve consent agenda items A, B, C, and D.
Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we got a special event liquor license for the Rotary Club of Steamboat Springs. Consideration, approval, and authorization of the board to sign the special events liquor license for the Rotary Club of Steamboat Springs for an event to be held at the Wandering Creek Ranch on September 22nd, 2018. Barb?
Have everything that my investigation report. So, please.
We do this every year, don't we? Seems yep. like, yep.
Do
we just do the one? Do their
Rotary?
Well, for the Wandering
Creek Ranch.
Do they just do one of these a year? Or? And we put a limit on those, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Like two.
We have to be equal treatment to everybody.
Yep. Yeah. We have to get one for each. Each event.
No,
we were meant about the
number of events because we thought that's the largest
permit. Yeah, you did put a limit on.
Is that only for liquor?
Or no.
Is it no, that's for the event.
Because, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't know about it if it didn't involve liquor.
No, this is for land use.
Mm-hmm. Through planning, each parcel is limited to two special events per year.
Okay. That answers that question.
Other than that, they have to get a special permit. So I would move that we approve the special event liquor license for the Rotary Club of Steamboat Springs and authorize my signature on it.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to have you back.
Thank you. That's good to be back.
Business
arrangement. We're not on the record yet. So
yeah, we are, aren't we?
No, I didn't turn on yet.
Oh, so I did.
I thought we were waiting for Jake, so...
There's no need.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go again.
So. Okay, so Vance and I have had business arrangements in the past in construction. And I also have to, I can't remember if I was even a commissioner, but when I was knocking on doors, you took me out and showed me the property and talked to me about this subdivision.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned it.
So, I mean, this was briefly discussed, but I think it was probably prior to me being a commissioner. I just don't recall. So,
you were politicking a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, so I don't think it'll affect my ability to be able to render a judgment on this.
And
unbiased.
I'm perfectly good with that, too.
Okay.
That's the least.
This would be an opportune time for me to step down.
It would be indeed.
I live in this little valley long enough.
There's Jake.
Here, Jake. Have a seat here. Mr. Hermes.
Come on to the adult table.
MIA today. She's supervising youth. So, anyhow, Alan, why don't we turn it over to you and then give us, for the record, minutes, where we're at and what we're doing here.
Okay. So this is an application for preliminary and final subdivision for an existing lot in Steamboat 2. The sketch application was approved in June of 2017. Planning Commission heard this application at their August 16, 2018 meeting, and it was unanimously recommended for approval with a 9-0 vote. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion at Planning Commission. The little discussion there was kind of centered around the number of other available lots in Steamboat 2 that could be subdivided, but this is the only one that meets the minimum lot area and has the frontage that would allow for subdivision. So, again, this was the only lot in Steamboat 2 that could be subdivided.
At this time, at these regulations.
Correct. Regulation. Yes. So there was a typo in the staff report that Planning Commission saw, and that was in regard to the amount for the fee in lieu for the dedication of public sites. But Planning Commission did correct it. It is correct in the minutes, and that number is $4,787.40, and that would be required to be paid prior to platting the new lots.
Prior to the final recordation of the final plat.
Yes. Yes.
Comments? Questions? Steve or whatever? I don't
know. Well, essentially,
we don't have any questions, so I mean, we're
okay.
So,
well, essentially, as was stated, this is essentially the same thing as we saw the sketch.
Exactly.
And
that
we're just
approved.
Going through the
yep.
Exactly. And that was a year ago, and we had a year to bring this back to you, and we just made it by the skin of our teeth for any number of reasons, of which we don't have to go into. It was on our site. But as you can see, that we've gone through planning, we answered their questions, we got the fee in lieu settled out, of which we agreed to, and as was stated, this is one of the larger lots in Steamboat 2. We don't see this really happening anywhere else. It's unique in that it has the two frontages. And so I think when you look at this, you see that this is a unique piece of property, but it fits in very appropriately. And in our, as in our narrative, I think it'll go a long way to at least provide one more buildable lot in a very attainable subdivision. I think I'm using appropriate vernacular.
All just depends on what your definition of obtainable is.
Well, it always has been that, hasn't it? But anyway, we appreciate you looking at this, and we look forward to answering any more of your questions and eventually your approval.
So again, then, so after we had approved this on the sketch, as far as I know, and then in the packet that we got from you for Planning Commission meeting, there wasn't any comments there regarding there either. I didn't see.
No, it's pretty straightforward. All of the infrastructure is in, utilities are in, so it, as far as subdivisions go, it's a pretty simple one that don't.
And there aren't any easements that need to be waived, or?
No.
Okay.
The only question there is we did put a utility easement on the back line, the common line, but those utility easements are for public use.
Right.
And
yes.
So they... No real connection.
Telephone.
You're actually adding an easement, we're not waiving any.
No, we're adding an easement. We'd like it to go away, if possible, but it just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense because for public utilities, they're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything's in place. Yes, essentially.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And again, I guess if nobody needs it, nobody will use it, right?
Nobody will use it.
It'll just be sitting there on the
plaza.
It builds it back from the buildable zone, I assume, from the easement and the rest.
Yeah. But the setbacks are equal to or greater than the easement, so. So, yeah, it would just really exist on the plat.
This seems straightforward enough. Are you ready for a motion?
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve the preliminary and final subdivision of Lot 93, Steamboat 2, with the following findings of fact. Number one, the proposal has been determined to be in compliance with the guidelines of the Rouse County Master Plan, the Steamboat Springs Area Community Plan, and the West Steamboat Springs Area Plan. Number two, the proposal with the following conditions is in compliance with sections 4, 5, and 6 of the Rouse County Zoning Regulations and 3 and 4 of the Rouse County Subdivision Regulations. This approval is subject to the following general conditions. 1 through 8.
Second. Any those 1 through 8 are the August 16th, 2018 draft minutes of the Rouse County Planning Commission. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Well,
You know, I think this is a great thing. So
has all utilities in place already.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, these are just tap. One line's on one side, the other one on the other. Tap it.
They already have a number for that lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
So you're going to build a tiny home there?
Are you planning on building, or are you going to sell the lot?
Well, we haven't really decided yet. That. It's been a long process. And
I was going to say, because it seems to me it must have been 6 years ago that you first mentioned this to me.
It took him about a year to figure out who
it was. Well, it was 2 years in the process when he first walked in our door.
Well, great. I agree with Tom. It's a good one. It's an easy one for us to approve. Yeah. Thanks, Vance.
Yeah.
See you, man. Take it easy.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it.
Okay, we got a waiver request for the guardrails, the guardrails 2018 project. Consideration to waive the formal purchasing process and award the county manager to sign electronic purchase order for the Rock County Road and Bridge Department guardrails for 2018 to Ideal Fencing Corporation.
Julie, I guess we'll start with you and Gio, whatever, who wants to lead off.
We are requesting a waiver for the formal purchasing process because Ideal Fencing Company is currently in town on other projects and offered a significant savings in mobilization expense to Dow County Fence Project. Ideal Fencing Corp. has received the award for guardrail projects consistently since 2011 and has been the sole bidder since 2012.
So the Ideal Fencing just happens to be in town doing a big project, and they asked if they can store some material in our shop. And I told them that we could if we save us money in the mobilization cost. Therefore, we did save significantly on mobilization. $3,000, and usually runs around $7,000 to $10,000 for mob.
The budgeted expense was $90,000, and Ideal Fencing has come in at $59,545.
So we're installing all of the guardrails that we anticipated in the budget.
Yes.
So it's a real savings, not a reduction in scope.
Yeah. No. We didn't do it last year because there was minimal work to be done, so we skipped last year. And after this winter and summer, there's significant work to be done.
And we've used Ideal Fencing in the past.
We've only used Ideal Fencing for most of the years.
And these are identified sections that you guys, road bosses have went through and identified the sections that need to be
repaired.
Every
single one is marked, painted, and they know what to replace.
It's not a cost not to exceed. It's an actual hard dollar bill.
Yeah, this should be a hard dollar, unless they see something different. But I don't foresee any over expenditure on this.
So these are for repairs. We're not installing new.
No, all repairs.
These are all repairs. So they've had the opportunity to go out and look at them understand what it is that they're repairing.
Yeah. I mean, they've been.
And typically, one of those repairs where you just kind of peel off the chunk of metal and put a new one on because it's dented, or does that include replanting posts?
Some of them will require new posts. If the impact has been strong enough, they will require new posts, and we do identify, replace posts and guardrail. I don't know if you noticed in 129, there's a couple that are pretty smashed. So same thing with County Road 78. There's a few that are really
bad. Did we smash them?
We didn't. That was an accident. And what I've been trying to do is, if I can identify who it was, I've been calling the insurance companies and getting restitution money.
Because there must be an accident report through the sheriff's department.
Right. A lot of them we don't find who they were.
They don't stop to call up morning
and just coming home I didn't see that happen.
Yeah, but I've been successful at getting some money back from the insurance companies.
Well, you ready for it?
So my only question is we got 59, and yet I didn't figure out how these numbers all worked here. So I'm sure the 59's right, but this says 34.
So there should be two.
There's
maybe we didn't all get.
So you have the whole thing. The one is one for bridges, all the guardrails and bridges, and one on the road.
Oh, okay. So that, so that should be this one here, then. Right.
Yeah, there should be two of them. Yeah.
And those
this
two
is roads.
So it's like this. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, we didn't have that.
Yeah. Okay.
The,
Again, I'm fine. I'm not questioning you guys' ability for now.
I'll just print one side.
You ready for a motion?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move to waive the formal purchasing process and approve the award and authorization of the county manager to electronically sign a purchase order for the Rock County Road Bridge Department guardrails 2018 to Ideal Fencing Corp. in the amount of $59,545.
So then also then if you could include that, so authorize my signature on the notice to proceed as well, included with the county manager's sign of the purchase order. Did you get that? Okay. All those in favor.
You got a second.
Second, excuse me. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so the next item is we have cattle guard. GOLD, over to you.
So the cattle guard agreement for County Road 74.
74?
Is that 74?
That's what's in my agenda communication form. Says County Road 74.
Sure. Yes,
County Road 74. I thought you said 34. I'm sorry.
74.
Okay.
Right. For Mr. Barnes, as you guys have agreed with him.
Timing was of the essence on this.
Yeah, and he's already purchased, paid, and we've delivered it to him. So now he's in.
And then he's subcontracting with T-Bar G.
T-Bar J or
G.
T-Bar G.
To get it installed. Based on our specs.
Mm-hmm. We need to schedule a second meeting to get him to sign the agreement. Well, he's already reviewed the agreement, so we need to get the signature from you guys. And I don't have that.
The agreement.
I can.
So, you lost me there. So,
yeah,
we have this agreement here. Right?
Oh, you have the agreement. Okay.
Yeah.
And she'll print a fresh copy.
Yeah, he's gonna print a fresh copy.
So then,
he's already paid for, and we already delivered the cattle guard to County Road 74.
Okay, I'm good. So I would move and approve and authorize my signature on the cattle guard agreement between Rock County and Mr. Sam Barnes. Copy was included.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Are we off for a second? So we're here with our emergency manager and also Road and Bridges here, and actually discussing a little bit about the past week's fire activity, and then we'll start off with that, and then we'll have a couple other action agenda items to go on. So why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So a quick overview, a very busy weekend for fire activity. The first one started about... About 19:30 Friday evening, due to heavy lightning strikes out there in Hayden, and that's how we believe the Murphy fire started just north of the rest stop. I got out there probably around 8:30, and we had West Route was on station, Oak Creek provided response, and it was about 50 acres and growing. But it was dark, it was at night, so we had limited direct attack we can do, but we were putting line up around as best we could. Then on Saturday morning, we went back up and through the drill mission as well, and everything looked black, everything looked burned out, no smoke, but we were looking for hot spots. About 11 o'clock, then I headed back to Steamboat to take care of some other things, and I didn't even get back yet, and the fire just blew up. Don't know really how it blew up so quick, because we thought everything was done.
Sure.
So about 11, about noontime, I got a call from the incident commander, and so we started requesting resources. One of the first calls that was made was Road and Bridge. trying to get dozers out there particularly. And so I think about 4 o'clock, so I think I made the initial call around 1 or 1:30. I knew Mike was out of town, but then I got hold of Ray, or Ray got back to me, and we got Troy up there on the dozer, and that was instrumental in getting some containment to that fire. And then, so we continued to work on that through the late into the night, and then we went back up there on Sunday morning now, and there were 3 of your crews there. It's Troy and Dave and a third, but they were running. They brought a tender, which was also critical, because now what we can do is we had a portable bladder that we can drop off. And so their tender would fill that bladder up, and then we could use our tenders to take water out to the trucks to reduce the transit time. So a combination of the lines that were cut and then the water availability, just can't express how beneficial that was.
So whose water bladder is that? That West Routes?
West Routes, yeah.
Huh.
What does that look like?
Well, that one, it basically, it's on the side of one of their engines, and it's just a framework with a vinyl. It's open on top with vinyl sides.
Okay.
It's like a big water tank there.
Yes. Yeah. It's unfolded.
Big stock tank.
Exactly. They just unfold it, and then, you know, we use the Ralph County tenders to just fill it up, and then they can shuttle between whatever source we're using and fill up that bladder, and then lets the water, the fire department tenders then fill theirs up from that mobile unit, and then take it out to the brush trucks and whatnot. So we've made good progress on it, just tied up some hot spots and doing some control burning to close up the gaps and all that. And then about 1:30 or so in the afternoon, we're up there at Murphy, we look south, and we see another smoke column. And the only one we had left who wasn't at the fire was Chief Leck. He went down to it, and that thing was growing fast. I mean, one witness said it moved about 100 yards in 15 seconds. It was just blowing.
Boom.
So we started calling for more resources. Pretty much the station's emptied bombs. I called dispatch, and I said, just send out a page to every district for anything they got, and send them down to 53. So Oak Creek, Yampa, Steamboat, they, even though they already had units, they just sent everything they had. And then your dozer drivers were chomping the bit. They mm-hmm. said, hey, we don't have any more dozers down there, but we got drivers if you got dozers. So we eventually, they got down there, and that one was, that was a tough
time. Off of 53 on the Irwin
which
fire.
Is called the Irwin fire.
Yeah.
So due to that timely response of all the other districts, as well as Road and Bridge, once again, they got some line down there cut when it was dark at night. But the combination of that, and then we did 24 air tanker drops, mostly focused on JD's house. That was the one house that was threatened. But we, you know, surrounding the house and then working the northern perimeter, so they were able to contain that fire. And then they were back up there again yesterday, just improving those lines. So it was a good example of, you know, teamwork that was so critical. So as of this time, Murphy, we're still calling about 90% contained. We'll be going up there periodically, basically in a patrol mode. And I think today at Irwin, I don't have a number, a containment number for Irwin, but they're pretty much in the same mode. They may try to do some more burning out, because there's that fire moves so fast, you have a lot of pockets of unburned fuel within there that we would like to clean up, just so you don't have an ember blows into there and get another flare up. It's all in the interior. The perimeters are pretty secure, but there's a little bit more work to do on that one than Murphy.
So maybe it's obvious, but who did you have to evacuate on the Murphy fire?
I believe the last name was Logan, but they were right off of County Road 78A. There were 6 residences that were being threatened. So we went door to door with our deputy, with J.D. Paul, as a matter of fact, and then we had to secure that road.
but the only there's only one residence that we actually
who is the farthest to west
on 78A.
Yeah, on 78A.
So we asked
that road just kind of goes out there on the rim rocks.
Yeah. Right.
So, the reason I asked is I happened to be out there Friday afternoon with Frank Royce. He was showing me and giving me an education.
Exactly.
And I happened to be out on 78A Friday afternoon.
He didn't toss a cigarette which out I don't think
had to do anything with my presence out there. Because it wasn't even a heated discussion.
Well, yeah, so it was that one house, and so we did evacuate them, and they had an RV, and I think they came down to their county fairgrounds. But we went back up there on Sunday morning, and they were back. They came back in.
Well, that thing still could have kept going north.
Could have, yes.
And got on to 78. I mean, over next to 78, that whole valley is full of houses.
And that's another. So I just want to give Ray kudos and Gio for their team, but Emmy does a fantastic job too. I mean, She gets her jet within as soon as she's got the benefit, I guess, of being both a volunteer firefighter, so she understands fire behavior as well as her GIS. So she was there pretty much the whole weekend with us as well, and she goes into her maps and stuff and says, okay, here's the six residences, so we know very quick which ones are being addressed.
She's able to do that remotely
if she has connectivity. Yes.
If she what?
If she has connectivity,
yeah, you can get into the county.
Most
GIS
of the maps system that she has are, are done prior to. So some of this stuff, like I have some maps that you don't even need connectivity the way it's built. But as long as she gets connectivity, she can do that stuff. So even on Murphy Fire on Saturday night after it blew up, we had a location established for an incident command post, which was we're kind of down in a hole, and it was tough. She was able to get up to the house we evacuated once it was somewhat secure, and she got good connectivity there. So she's able to provide us not only the maps, but let us know what residences, whether it be ag buildings or residences, are being threatened, so we can get there from
the beach. Well, I guess the good news is you guys are responding quickly and everybody's working together.
Yes.
The bad news is you're getting a lot of training in doing this.
Yeah. Over Labor Day.
Well, that's the second Labor Day in a row. I keep on telling people as we were talking about restrictions, is Deep Creek started Labor Day last year. So Labor Day is no good around here.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, go ahead.
That was the first time I had to be involved with any of the calling and stuff. And so, Mo, of course, I was on my way to Junction Saturday, is why I wasn't able to get back with you for a couple hours. Connectivity wasn't there. But then yesterday, we called for more signs on the early.
Oh, yes. That would have been on Sunday.
Sunday. So I had my list of road and bridge people, so I went down. And the first person I called, Chris couldn't get hold of Clark Troy. Oops, he's on the dozer. Luke is out. So then I went to Rod Snowden, and he was camping up on Black Mountain. He says, I'm camping, can't get to the signs. But he said, here's who I would suggest you call. And he gave me Brian Guffman's number, so I called Brian. And I said, are you cooking? And he says, well, as a matter of fact, right now. And I said, well, can you help us out with some signs? And he left family stuff and went and got signs immediately. So
he delivered them out to West Route Station.
Yeah,
so we were able to.
So, even though these guys had personal stuff going on, they're pretty dedicated. So, of course, emailed or texted Brian back, thanked him. He was already back home. So.
Right.
These guys are good.
So I guess, just comment from us. And again, it's pretty amazing. You guys did a great job. Everybody.
And a good call. Let's not wait for these things to get out of control. Let's jump on.
That's the interesting thing is, of course, the media calls are coming in. And Denver Post called. And, of course, they asked a question about, how much that stuff needs to burn. And my response is, well, it may, but we can't do it. I mean, we don't have the luxury.
Not when we might potentially have 60-mile-an-hour winds blow through there.
And, if it gets out of hand, then we don't have the resources to put it back in the box. So our policy is
put it out.
Everything quick, as quick as we can.
That same lightning storm that came through, of course, my wife and I were at our house, and we see this big fire to the east of our house in Moffat County, and it struck the Moffat County
Bridge,
diesel tank, and it blew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not a pretty storm, especially it really didn't have any rain. It just blew through with lightning, 60-mile-an-hour wind and lightning. It's like, really? Well, anyhow, I just wanted to pass on publicly to everybody involved.
what a great job everybody did keeping our citizens safe.
And of course, Mike Morty was involved too. He was in Denver and stuff. And I know you got hold of him before you were able to get hold of me. So,
team okay. Effort. Thank you. Right.
All right.
And I guess
thank you.
I guess my time slot was to talk about restrictions.
Yep. So yep. Yeah, you guys can.
Okay.
Actually,
see you all later this afternoon.
Thank you.
So we had our fire restriction call. It was kind of an interesting call today.
Thank you.
We had the indices, and as we expected, we're back up to 4. So we've been bouncing between 4 and 2 now for the last 5 weeks consecutive. So once again, I'm glad we didn't come out last week. So up at this week, then, those indices would suggest, they recommend that we stay in stage 1. One of those key indices was, you know, how engaged your local resources are. So as of today, it's not bad, but, you know, the weekend was, we were pretty much
consumed.
Yeah. Speaking to the fire districts, you know, when I was out with Westrow, they want to stay in stage 1, and I heard back from Northrop and Steamboat, and they said recommend to stay in stage 1. Steamboat did question about, well, are we all engaged now? And, well, we may not be right now, but they need rest too. These guys were
absolutely
16-hour days.
Yeah,
last Friday. So it was pretty unanimous within Brown County. Did not hear from Oak Creek because that's Chuck's the last day he's on vacation, so I was expecting to be back from him. But the interesting thing is that both Moffitt and Rio Blanco, kind of ambiguous language, but they're moving towards coming out. In fact, Moffitt was a little bit more recommended to come out, and then Rio Blanco said, well, we're going to proceed in that direction. I think what will end up happening is they'll have it as a default next week unless something changes, so we'll probably come out next week. I think they'll stay in for the remainder of the week, because I know Sheriff Mazzola wants to make sure that he wants to try to be consistent throughout the region. So while he was ready to come out, he was also willing to stay in for the others. Ralph County became their minutes that we're staying in stage 1. And then Grand County's moving to come out. They'll probably come out this week, but Jackson wants to stay in. So it's kind of a little bit of a mix of who's doing what. But within Ralph County, it's pretty unanimous to stay. But that our districts are pretty much staying stage 1 until at least next week and reassess again.
Yeah, and I just went for a short hike the other night up off of Five Pine Mesa, and it was just the grasses were just crunching under my feet. I mean, it just couldn't be any drier until we see some rain.
And it's a substantial amount of rain.
Yeah.
That'll make that crunchy grass turn into moist, solidable.
Yeah, I mean, you could just have the feeling if you just took a match and you could just blow it up. So
that's why we were amazed at how fast Irwin was moving, because I mean, it was just running.
Yeah.
It went from, you know, 0 to, right now we're about 170 acres, but most of that was within probably the first 30 to 40 minutes.
So just to be clear, your recommendation to us is just to
stay in stage one.
So, Mr. Chairman, hearing that.
So I just one thought as well. You know, again, you know, I appreciate the public's respect and their due diligence, and I think, and again, as far as I understand, we've only had one man-caused fire. Is that we think or know?
Yes, I mean, they have been, and between your outer office, between my office, between the fire districts, people are calm, and they're asking about it.
No, they're engaged.
So they are engaged,
yeah.
And I think that's been beneficial. I do hear calls on the radio about illegal fires, and you're going to have that. You know, you get that percentage of the population. It doesn't matter if you're in no restrictions or if you're in stage 3, they're going to do what they want. But For the most part, the public has been, I think, very cooperative. They're at least calling us and asking, and I assume they're complying. But you know, we've been pretty fortunate.
I haven't observed any problems.
Anyhow, I think that's another reason why we can leave it on. I think everybody's getting by with this thing, and for right now, we can just can need a you know and the public awareness.
Well, it's ironic too that you know that. when we met last week on Tuesday, we agreed to stay, but there was discussion about coming out. And then the very next day, the National Weather Service puts out a fire alert, a red flag warning. And so that's really inconsistent messaging if we say, well, not restrictions, and then next thing you know, there's
right.
a fire, red flag warning going out to everybody. So we were fortunate, I think we stayed, so our messaging was consistent. But and especially after this weekend, I think the wrong message would be given out if we said, okay, after that weekend, now we're coming out of restrictions. So I think it was pretty unanimous with all the districts to stay, at least in Illinois.
So we're going to do the same thing we did.
Tables
we're going to kick the can down to next week.
That would be my recommendation.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we table consideration of Ordinance Number 2013-2, an ordinance that would have banned open fires in unincorporated portions of Brown County until next week, Tuesday of next week, at which time we'll take it under consideration again.
Okay.
Second, then, so the motion was to the
table.
Tabling the rescinding of the ordinance.
Yes.
That's what it should be.
Okay. Yeah. I accept that clarification.
Yep. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we got the EMPG grant agreement.
Oh. Yeah. So this is for basically the funds for the 2018 grant. And I know Eric's reviewed it and didn't have any comments. Sure, I'm going to let you talk about this, just your more experience in how this works.
Well, this is the 18. Our grant amount is $60,000. And we just received the grant application for 2019. We'll be reviewing and getting to you. But this is, we've already completed two quarters of our submittals for our work plan and our financial side. So once this is signed and they receive this, we'll be getting our first and second quarter checks.
And this is on a state calendar, state fiscal year, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
So what we had already had, what we've seen in the past was the 2017 Colorado fiscal year?
Yes.
And then are we up and now and semi-compliant with all the things that we've been asked to do?
We are. We had a little bit of a misunderstanding with some of our state partners in how the money should get spent, meaning that we didn't spend $15,000 each of the first two quarters. So there was some misunderstanding that we're going to have to pay some of that back. But we've clarified that. We still have the rest of the year to burn through that up to $60,000. So that was a little bit.
They want you to spend the $15,000 within each quarter.
They want to start doing our accounting for us as well, or what?
That was the impression that we were walked away from through several meetings. But I talked to Chuck Vail last week, I think it was, and clarified it. No, you still, if you spend up to the 60, then you're not going to have to pay the tax that you didn't spend the first quarter. So that's been clarified.
So in the past, we've never had a problem meeting our amount until we remove Mo from the the grant this year. So the first and second quarter, we were right around $13,000, between $13,000 and $14,000. And so what we'll do is they will issue us a check for that exact amount. We will not get our $15,000
right.
for the first and second quarter.
But you'll find a way to spend it in the
yes,
third and fourth.
We have typical lab supplies, and then we need to refurbish and stuff like
right.
that. So, and we have some more training events that will be.
So do we have a resolution on this? No, that's the wrong one. I'm sorry. Okay.
Are you ready for a motion? Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve and authorize your signature on the 2018 EMPG encumbrance number 18EM-19-48 grant agreement between the State of Colorado Department of Public Safety, Division of Homeland Security, and Emergency Management and Rep County.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So are we still having discussions with them about the partial allocation of your time?
Well, what we did this year, yes, the short answer is yes.
Okay, that's fine. You don't need to go any farther than that. That's good. That, because the program wouldn't exist without your position. So,
but that's why what we did for this year is we moved, because I'm in the process of getting a timekeeper system.
And, right.
And so it's been ordered, but we haven't done that. So
okay.
For this year, we removed myself, so then it's all her salary in there. So we're still above the 60 and all, but we'll be probably going back to the other way next year once I get the timekeeper system and I can allocate my time.
Sounds awesome. I just, next year.
I do have one more topic I'd like to.
Are we off?
Yes. Want me to step out?
No, you just.
So go ahead.
First off, you have the consideration of the resolution for the Rural Jumpstart program. Because of the DF Corporation moving of Smartwell to the Front Range, the state EDC has agreed to consider adding the city of Steamboat Springs into the jurisdiction of the program for the district for the Rural Jumpstart program. So we have a resolution for your consideration today that names Ralph County as well as the all four municipalities, now adding the city, to be eligible for the tax credits under the Rural Jumpstart program. So Tegan has that resolution up there.
So actually, I did, yeah. I would move that we approve for resolution 2018-041, a resolution authorizing Rock County to participate in the Rural Jumpstart Program.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, Tom, you still have something else?
Yeah, the next item is providing your authorization to provide a six-month pay step increase to step four of the Human Resources Director pay scale for Kathy Nelson. I have appointed Kathy as the Human Resources Director for Ralph County. Her first day, her start date will be the 17th of September, and she'll start at step three of that pay scale, which under our policy is under the authority of the county manager to approve. Her qualifications make her eligible for an increase to step four after 6 months with a successful performance review. So Kathy and Dan Weinheimer and I will sit down and establish performance goals for her to achieve in the first 6 months, and with a successful review at 6 months, looking for your approval to authorize an increase to step four at that time. That would be March 9th or March 19th or 17th, actually.
Sounds good.
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve an increase in pay to step four at 6 months for Catherine T. Nelson as Human Resources Director with the completion of performance goals and a 6 months performance review. The 6 month increase will be in the pay scale approved for 2019.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
And your meeting is the Board of Equalization.
I got my spiel here. Hang on. Just my act together. This thing did, some of the paperwork didn't come out right. Okay, so we're here today, Commissioner Corrigan and Commissioner Mauger, myself, as the members of the Board of County Commissioners, and as required by statute, the Board of County Commissioners is sitting today as the Board of Equalization. We are ready to hear the appeal for parcel number 817-1721, Bennington. The first order of business is to swear in the petitioners and the representatives of the assessor's office. So if you do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
I would like a few introductory comments. The issue of today's proceeding is whether or not the petitioner qualifies for a property tax exemption according to CRS 39-3-201 through 39-3-201.
208. The burden of proof is on the petitioner. The petitioner shall present his evidence first, and then we may have questions for the petitioner, the Board of Equalization. Assessor's office representative shall present any additional information, and then we have questions for them. The decision of the board shall not be subject to further administrative appeal by either the applicant or the assessor. At this time, we will begin, and we have the files from that was presented to the assessor from the petitioner, so we have them in our files. So we'll start right there, and again, I guess we do have copies of all of those things that are in our packet, and so we'll lead off with you guys. We have your letter, and it sounds like we don't need to waste much of your time or our time, either one. So.
Actually, it might be better off to start off with the assessor's office to tee up what's going on here.
Okay.
All right. We can do that. So what we have here is what amounts to almost a scriber's error by the title company, it sounds like, where they put in the wrong legal description lot number on the deed that was signed at closing. And, you know, actually as the buyers, you don't even sign the deed. It's the grantor signing the deed. It wasn't corrected by way of a correction deed. They ended up deeding the erroneous lot or parcel back to the developer and then getting the new deed signed over to them. And so in our records, we don't see that, you know, we couldn't see that as a correction or an error. So that's why we denied the application. It just looked like they had sold one property and they bought this one under the 10-year mark.
And they actually did that a year after the original.
Yeah, it was about a year later. Yeah, and Sarah can add to this. Are these the people that you talked to the title company about?
Yes.
So we have collaborating evidence and remarks coming from the title company about the screw up. We believe that they most certainly do meet the three criteria. They're of the proper age as of January 1 of this year. They were in the home for a period of 10 years, occupying that one home. You didn't hop out of one house into the other, right? They were the owners of that one house.
Primary residence.
And it's a primary residence.
Yep.
So we believe they fit all the criteria. And that is our recommendation.
So, and then we're good with that too, Barry. So then the question is so after you guys have to administratively deny it just because of the evidence that you had to make your ruling
about. Well, we asked the decision about it, and I asked the division about it. The division said it still has to go to hearing, has to be presented to the Board of Equalization, and they're the ones that have to approve. I guess it's outside of my authority to. Once I've denied an application,
you can't turn around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's why we're here.
Pretty straightforward to me. It seems like you guys definitely qualify. So, Mr. Chairman, in the matter of account number R8171721.
Hang on 1 second. Do you guys have anything you want to say?
Oh, right, no, sir.
It's always a good thing. No. If you're on the winning side, just.
What it looks like.
No, not yet. We don't want to kick you out. Go ahead.
So, in the matter of account number R8171721, I would move to approve the senior property tax exemption. I think that's about all I need for a motion, right?
For this tax year 2018.
For the tax year 2018.
Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good.
So just
thank
for,
you all for.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, for taking
thank
the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So you'll see that. You'll see that now on your tax bill.
Yeah.
It'll have a line item on it.
Okay.
And it'll have a deduction amount here.
What's that?
Vice Whippers were going to come, but they're not here.
Yeah. In 2019, they'll see it.
Yes, they get the bill in 2019.
Right. You apply in the year that you turn 65, you're qualified the following year.
For the assessment year of 18.
This is a
payable for 18.
Bye-bye.
18 taxes payable in 2019.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, since I'm 65 this year, in January, I will apply for the tax exemption for 2019.
Yeah. Right.
So, in 2020, I'll see the actual
when you get your
reduction.
Bill, it'll be for tax year 19. Mm-hmm. Prior year. It basically,
did
it's
you apply for it by chance?
I can't apply for it until the year after I turn 65.
Because you have to be 65 as of January 1st in the year you apply.
So January 1st of 2019, I will apply for the exemption.
Yep.
Will that be reflected in my 2019 tax notice?
Yes.
2020 tax bill.
When you get your bill.
For 2019 taxes.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
When you get your bill, this is what you owe for 19, it'll have the exemption on there.
Yes, I'm definitely going to apply.
I was going to. I don't know. I got the notice. I was good.
Did your wife do it or?
Did I? I don't know why it was in my brain that we were going to do it, and then all of a sudden.
Are you on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys on Ag Land?
Yeah.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't apply to the ag valuation.
Oh, I understand.
It's not residential.
Well, that valuation is low enough. I'm not worried about it.
Just saying, it's the first $200,000 of residentially classed property.
50%.
Yeah. 50% of the first $200,000. Right. Okay. So let's move on to Weisberger because it's the same.
Oh, he's not going to. Oh, the third.
They
one.
Were saying that they decided not to show.
Okay.
So this is the same exact situation.
Same title company, same complex.
Same townhome complex.
Yeah.
So they're consistent.
Yeah. So same situation. The title company.
Well, I think he has to start with.
I'm good with that too. So I'll remind you that you're under oath yet on the new parcel, which is R817-1719, Alan and Susan Weisberger, and we'll proceed on. I don't even think the evidence is here too, so I'm all right with that too.
Okay.
So let's. I would move that we approve the senior property tax exemption application for the that parcel 817-1719 and approve the evidence that was provided to us by the petitioners.
For tax year 2018.
For tax year 2018.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. There was pretty interesting history on all that.
Yeah.
I mean, that they, when the surveyor had it numbered one way and then the plat numbered it the wrong way. Is that what I read out of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good thing we have time.
And then I would just say, Doug, you're saying parcel number and then you're reading off our schedule number versus the actual parcel number. Just know you're. Because you're saying parcel number, and then you're reading the R number, which is an assessor schedule, and there is an actual parcel number that is quite different from that.
Yeah, the 275 number.
Yeah, so it's
you got that
assessor's team. Property schedule number, or if you're going to read parcel number, then you got to read the actual parcel number.
Okay.
The next one, very interesting. Move around.
So Mr. Wagner has chosen not to join us today?
No, because he's in California, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, we are on record. So we're going to be having a. I've got to find the number here again. So we're having the. On the account number. Is that right? Account,
yes.
Route County number R0420508. And that is for Mr. Wagner.
Okay, so Mr. Wagner's application was denied for several reasons. Petitioner claims that this is his primary residence and he is deserving of the exemption for his ownership in well over the 10-year period. Claims about 30-year resident of Route County. And we denied this application, again, for several reasons. Most primary reason is
again as in we denied it before?
No, I just mentioned that we denied it for several reasons.
Okay, that's fine.
So I was saying, again, for several reasons.
Okay, thank you.
The main reason is this is an incomplete house that's basically at the, or just shy of the rough stage being completed. It's nothing but studs on the inside. It's been at that state of incompletion since about 2003, I want to say. So well over a 10-year period. He's never lived in the property. It does not have a CO on it. It's an expired permit. And he also has a California address on his mailing address, which is kind of a flag that this is not your primary residence. The fact he doesn't live in the property, you know, are basis for denial. He did not sign the application. I had the Division of Property Taxation look at his application, and this is at my summer conference, and the DBT official wrote out a number of issues of why this application would be denied, starting with it's a very old application that he altered, and then he refused to sign it as well. This is her handwritten notes as to why he doesn't qualify: old application, unsigned, altered. You know, you're not allowed to change the application in any manner. And so for those reasons, we denied him. And he had submitted all kinds of stuff to us. And his initial application, I think you guys have just the first page of his second submittal to me. He appears to be very angry with Route County government over a long period of time.
So I guess my question would be, lack of a CO is probably on its own enough. No?
No.
No.
But you, the fact that he's not living there.
You could be living in a house for 10 years that didn't have a CO.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You could be living in
but
a house.
But given the fact that it is not, in fact, being inhabited,
I've personally been by this property a number of times in the winter. The driveway is, you know, unplowed. Just basically nobody's lived there. There's been no work or progress on the house in 14, 15 years or better. And if you peek through the windows, you'll see it's nothing but studs and tie back on the outside. No siding to it.
You ready for a motion? Mr. Chairman, I, in the matter of account number R0420508 21530 Whitewood Drive, I would move that we deny the application for the senior property exemption due to the fact that the owner does, in fact, not occupy the property.
Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So I assume that's also valued